fast and left.
Who gets the pole for the Indianapolis 500? It's Alex Palou.
I just got three things to say. God bless our troops. God bless America. And gentlemen, start your engine.
In the Fast Lane on WYCR HD3 UIndy Radio.
Welcome back to another week of In the Fast Lane. It has been a fun week. This week it's going to be even more fun because racing is actually getting underway. We're going to have IndyCar and Formula One starts up this week. How's it going, everyone? Lanikin's joining you here. Caden Colford to my right as my co-host. Caden, Fontana, man, that was fun.
No, it was awesome. I'm excited. I'm so excited. My pick was right. And it was halfway a joke pick, right? I said the geezer might pull one out, and the geezer did.
And if you know who the geezer is, if you listened to last week's show, you'll definitely know here momentarily. So to start off with, Auto Club Speedway, Fontana, California. This one was kind of a bittersweet, sweet event to have because if you're not aware, so Auto Club Speedway is a 2 mile oval, and they announced about a year and a half ago that the track was going to be repaved and reconverted from a 2 mile oval to a half mile oval. Auto fans were happy about that, so they did the race in 2022 with the next gen car, and it put on a phenomenal show. So Fontana said, "Okay, we'll delay it by another year," and to eventually have it, and I believe in 20, it won't, because the Fontana won't be on the calendar in 2024, so at least 2025 is when they're coming back. And Fontana did not disappoint whatsoever. So to start things off, the NASCAR Xfinity race was postponed due to rain and snow in California. That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it was crazy. We were talking about last week the weather at Daytona and how Florida weather is crazy. I mean, California is almost the same way. It's not as wet, but I mean snow in that part of California.
No, I don't feel like, because like I know there's like a big mountain background scenery to Fontana, and like it looked cool, but just like snow in California just does not seem right. So anyway, that race was postponed. It was moved to last night after the Cup race. So let's dive right into it. So to start off, we have the NASCAR Cup Series, the Pala Casino 400. So they had no practice, no qualifying, so they just dove right into this head first. So as Christopher Bell and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. started on front row, and immediately to start things off, their drivers are already fanning out four or five wide every corner. That gets a lot of people happy, right? Don't you think? I mean, for me, I was just like, oh crap! Like, if someone screws up here, this ain't gonna be pretty.
Makes for exciting racing, though, for sure.
It definitely does. So, to start things off, like I said, we're already fanning out four or five wide, and Kyle Larson, the defending winner of last year, already has engine issues. So we don't get to see much of Kyle Larson for the race. He has engine issues. He's multiple laps down. So the defending winner, he's already out of this thing, pretty much. So competition caution is on lap 15. Alex Bowman leads. After that, we see Ross Chastain leading quite a lot. And Ross Chastain, he had the orange Kubota car, and he looks so good out in front with that car. And then caution was on lap 43 as Corey LaJoy spins out Brad Keselowski. Not enough damage, so he was able to continue on. And under that caution flag, an old geezer that you mentioned by the name of Kyle Busch, he was slowly making his way up to the front, but he gets knocked for speeding. So he gets knocked for speeding on pit road. So he goes all the way back in the back. So at this point now, we got a 20-lap shootout to the end of stage one. And the Trackhouse Racing teammates, Ross Chastain and Daniel Suarez, they looked good. And by good, I mean they finished 1-2 in stage one. Ross Chastain winning stage one. Trackhouse looks pretty good. So to restart off for stage two, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, Joe Logano, they're making their way up to the front. And Kyle Busch, even after getting a speeding penalty, it did not take him long to get back up to the front once again. Caution on lap 76, AJ Allmendinger crashed after making contact with Corey LaJoy. That's Corey LaJoy's second time he's hit somebody. Two laps after the restart, the man I just mentioned, Corey LaJoie, he got spun in the infield. I don't think that was all the stuff that he was involved with. Like he was just wrong person, wrong time. If you look at some of the stuff, he didn't take him out on purpose, which I know that's not in Corey's thing to do. I think it was just simply a racing incident, because I know on Twitter there were so many people bashing Corey LaJoie, and I felt bad for Corey. He didn't deserve that. He doesn't do anything on purpose like that.
Yeah.
So that was two laps after the AJ Allmendinger crash, and then right on the restart, just a giant cluster ... of cars spinning out through the infield right on the restart. That took out Eric Almirola, Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, Ryan Preece, and a lot of the drivers believed it was because Joey Logano checked up the field.
Man, that's your boy, isn't it?
I got a bone to pick with Joey. He was a good commentator last night for the Xfinity race, but he wasn't making any more friends out there on the track. So Joey Logano said he didn't do it, and if he did, he was sorry for it. All the other drivers completely disagreed. They thought Joey checked them all up, and personally, I disagree. Like, I don't think he did that on purpose. Like, I think it was just a simple racing incident. Like, I know Joey's cold-blooded, but I don't think he has that in his heart to do that. Like, he's cold in his heart to take out somebody for a win, but not to, I think, jack up a restart like that. So, giant crash. So that happens, and then green flag comes back out when we're seeing William Byron, Ross Chastain, Kyle Busch are making their way back up to the front. They're trailing the lead every so often, but it is Ross Chastain. He wins stage number two. Ross Chastain looks like he's looking pretty good. So caution comes out with five laps to go. Ty Dillon got stopped on track. And then for the rest of this race, it was pretty much Ross Chastain versus Kyle Busch. And on the final sequence of pit stops with about 30 laps to go, Kyle Busch got past Ross Chastain in that final pit stop. And then Kyle just pulled away. And only his third try for his new team, Richard Childress Racing, Kyle Busch wins the Pala Casino 400. First one of 2023. His fifth win at Fontana. And his 61st career win. Chase Elliott getting second. And Ross Chastain got third.
No, that team definitely has something going. I mean, the pit crew was good. Even after that, the penalty from Busch himself, the pit crew looked good. The team, you can tell that they're really meshing together. And then Kyle out there looking like he's 22 years old. So,
Kyle, do you think Kyle looks like he's like prime Kyle once again? Like younger Kyle, like winning all again kind of thing?
I mean, it was almost like a new year, new me kind of situation, right? I mean, he comes out. It's not like expectations were super high for Kyle Busch, right? Nobody was expecting Kyle Busch to come out and have the year that he's currently having, unless you're a super big Kyle Busch fan, which I don't know how many people are nowadays.
I think when he got signed on to Richard Childress Racing, everyone thought that he had taken a step backwards. I thought the same thing. But not like even at the LA Clash, he was good. He got third there. He should have won the Daytona 500, and now he finally wins with Richard Childress Racing. So whatever Kyle Busch has got going on over there, he is hammering down over there. And like if Clint Bowyer said last night on the broadcast, once he gets going, there is no way to stop him. It is so hard to stop Kyle Busch. And Kyle Busch says that once he gets going, like he wants to pour gasoline on the fire for this. Like he wants to keep this going, and I don't think he's going to stop.
You know what? I've been thinking, a lot of people like to talk about momentum in basketball or football and any other sport like that, but it's just as much of a thing in racing. When you get in that mindset, like, wow, I'm out here doing this. I'm beating these guys, you know?
Single-handedly and like with authority. Like it was a hard race for Kyle, and like for a little bit it was, and this that last like final 20 laps, like he owned that field. Like he looked like, I mean, he has been doing this for numerous years, but I mean, that's like, that dude was just killing it. And I think something interesting too is that this is 19 consecutive seasons in Cup that he has at least one win attached to his name. He passed Richard Petty for that, which is insane, because Richard Petty is the GOAT of NASCAR. He is the king, and I think that was awesome. And then with that, him and his brother Kurt Busch now have a combined 95 wins, making them the winningest brothers in NASCAR history. That's pretty cool, because you passed, again, those are two more legends they passed, being Bobby and Donnie Allison. That's pretty dang cool.
No, for sure. I mean, and then Kurt Busch next to Kyle Busch. Do you think Kurt Busch lives in Kyle's shadow?
Okay. I've thought about this a few times because Kurt is the older brother. I definitely 100% believe that he lives in his shadow. It's like, I think Kurt definitely respects and he loves what Kyle's doing. Like, they treat each other well out there on the track. But, I mean, like, if they're racing each other for when it's gloves off. But, like, I get what you're saying. It's like, I think a little bit of it could be a jealousy thing of, like, I'm older brother. Like, I should get that. I mean, Kurt has a championship under his belt. Kyle's got two. And Kyle has over, in between all three series, he has over 200 career wins. Kurt, I think, has nearly in his 50s, I think.
A pretty solid resume himself. Yeah. Not to put Kurt Busch down.
Like, Kurt's fantastic. Like, he was amazing. But just, like, I know, like, last year, like, he had his concussion issues and he was out for remainder of the season. And, like, Kurt's, both of them are fantastic. When we come back, we are going to be introduced to the one, the only, the pizza man himself, Brayton Laster. The pizza man himself. ARCA racer Brayton Laster joins us coming up right after this. You're listening to In the Fast Lane. Welcome back to In the Fast Lane. We are joined by a very special guest. We have ARCA Racing Series driver from Mullins Racing from Greenwood, Indiana, and former UND student, Brayton Laster. Brayton, how's it going, man?
It's a going, man. We just got back from Daytona a couple days ago with this Indiana weather. I'm definitely not used to it after being in Florida for a week, but we're here. We're having a great time.
So, first off, I know recently you just raced at Daytona, like you mentioned. How'd that go for you guys?
Yeah, that was a pretty rough one. We ran mid-pack or towards the front all day. It seemed like every time we'd pick a lane and choose that lane to kind of, you know, ride momentum out, either we'd stall back and lose 5 or 6 spots and get a caution, or the outside would start moving and it'd be stuck on the bottom. It seemed that every choice we made was the wrong one. And we'd go from, we started 20th and we were up to like 12th to 13th in a couple of laps, and we're back to 28th and we're back up to 15th, and then we're back to 24th, and then we're up to 20th and we're back to 28th and we're up to 15th. And the whole race went that way. And then we got some late race nose damage. It started running a little hot, and that just completely ruined any chance of being competitive. But it was a fun experience. That was my third super speedway race in the ARCA Menards platform. So it's always fun getting to go there and, you know, let it all hang out. Because I'm your full throttle for 3 hours straight, pretty much, just letting her eat.
I gotcha.
All right, so taking a step back, how did you get your start in racing? Was this something that you always knew you wanted to do, or when did the idea become a reality?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a family thing for me. My dad grew up working on race cars in the 80s, in the 90s, and then he started owning race cars about the mid-90s, I believe, and actually started driving stuff himself about the late 90s, and early 2000s was kind of when I came on the scene. The little Brayton popped out about 2002, and so that was when he was like real big in the driving stuff. He never did stuff like the ARCA or the NASCAR circuit. He was always like a short track racer and kind of my idol. And, you know, he'd have cars in our garage or on driveway, and I'd always be out there, you know, 2, 3, 4 years old with like a hammer that could beat on the body and beat on the wheels. And the second I was old enough to drive, I was 7, 8 years old, I hopped in the go-kart, and it never really looked back since. Been moving up the ranks. When I was 12 years old, I was racing full-size like street stock Thunder cars at the Indianapolis Speedrome, flat 5th mile on the east side here. And I believe I still hold the record, but I'm the youngest driver to ever race like a full-size car at the track. And then they run the lot of figure eight stuff up there, where you drive in the shape of an eight. There's an intersection, gotta avoid people. And I was the youngest driver to race in the World Figure Eight 3-hour championship up there at the age of 15. And about that same time, 2018 or so, we made the transition to dirt, and I've been racing dirt late models primarily around the Midwest, like I said, the past 4 or 5 years. And we've ran, you know, from Brownstown, Indiana, all the way to like BFE, Tennessee. So we've ran everywhere. And the past 14 months or so, my career has kind of skyrocketed. You know, we talked about, you know, running Daytona, now for the second time. I ran Talladega last year, and I was fortunate enough to make my NASCAR Craft and Truck Series debut to Knoxville, so that's always pretty cool. But yeah, it's been a whirlwind journey, something like that. It's been a crazy journey, and I'm just grateful to be able to go out here and do stuff that I always dreamed as a kid. Like racing, I never thought I'd get to go run Daytona. I never thought I'd get to run an ARC. I never thought I'd get to run in the Truck Series. But we're out here, we're kind of setting paths and making names for ourselves.
So you mentioned the ARCA races at Daytona, Talladega, and doing the truck race last year at Knoxville. So how did that all kind of come together? Did someone catch your eye beforehand, kind of scouting you out about this?
I wish that was the case. So it's kind of, I want to say it's a fluke. It's a Cinderella story, really what it is. I was home from Christmas break for my first semester at UND last December. So this is December of 2021. And I was kind of given a choice to kind of focus on my racing, doing the dirt stuff and kind of go a more regional route, or to focus on school. And about December 22nd, 23rd, my dad comes to my room and get me up for work. He's like, "Hey, kid, get up. I got to go to work." I'm like, "All right, Dad, I'm going." And he goes, "Hey, what do you think about running the ARCA test at Daytona?" And every January, ARCA has a two-day test down at Daytona. It's like the second or third week of January. And you go down there to get experience, to get approval, maybe. And we didn't really know what we're doing. We didn't know anybody in that garage. We didn't know anybody in the atmosphere. We'd been racing dirt the past 3 or 4 years. We didn't really know anybody big in the asphalt scene. My dad didn't have any contacts. And I'm like, "It'd be cool if we went down there." He goes, "All right, well, see what he can find out." And like I said, this is like December 22nd, 23rd. So it's like 3.5 weeks before the test. And I knew a team, Mullins Racing, from TikTok. They had no idea who I was. I followed them. They didn't follow me. I'd comment on their stuff here and there, but that was about it. They didn't know I existed. And I went to reach out. I'm like, "Hey, I was wondering, possibly do the test with you guys and whatnot, see what we can get put together here." And they're like, yeah, "Come on down." And so we went, and I think out of 60-something drivers, we were 15th quick, my first time ever at Daytona. I'm like, "Guys, this is awesome." And so we went up to them, and we're like, "Hey, we really want to kind of move up to this next step here, and we want to run the actual race." And, we had a month or so, and they're like, what did God take? And so we went, we dialed for dollars, we called sponsors and emailed and, met people and had a bunch of meetings, and we were able to get something together for the actual race. We went and got 13th, had a solid, I think we had a top 7 or top 8 run going. Just got real lucky there at the end last year. And we're like, "All right, awesome, we did it, that's it." And then Donna calls us back, the Friday after Daytona. She goes, "Hey, guys, wanna come to Talladega?" I'm like, "Yeah, everyone come to Talladega." And we went to Talladega, and I sucked. I didn't say I sucked. I was already mid-pack, and I got spun, went through the grass, mowed some grass, had the car fly over me at 180 miles an hour. It was awesome. Made the highlight reel in Fox. It's if you look up ARCA Talladega 2022, there's a 4-minute highlight video with 150,000 views. I'm the front and center of it. I had an in-car camera. It was excellent. So pretty much my whole, and from that point, the whole truck start was kind of a byproduct of the ARCA stuff. And so you can see my whole career started thanks to TikTok.
Man. It's an interesting start.
Yes.
And how about those super speedways? When you go there, is there an added level of pressure on you? Is that where there's some nerves involved?
Yeah, last year I was pretty nervous last year because it was my first time really being on that fine line of, eating concrete. And, just completely destroying, my car and getting injured. This year I feel like I was a lot less nervous going into it. I had two races under my belt, which isn't a lot, but at the Daytona race this year, they had 14 rookies make their debut. And so I had a lot more experience than those 14 rookies, which not a whole lot of experience, but I had more experience. And I mean, I was pretty calm, cool, collected the whole race. I mean, we had some tempers flare when, we got doored under caution with 4 laps to go, and I started calling people words I can't say because I was pretty calm, cool, collected the whole time for the most part, I'd say. Like I said, we ran up front, we ran the back, we front back the whole race. And I missed by, there weren't a whole lot of huge wrecks, but there were a lot of nasty wrecks. Got a couple people that hit the wall head on and just get turned to weird angles. And fortunately, we were able to dodge and bob and weave our way through that. So it was kind of nerve-wracking at some point, but this year, it was a lot better, I'd say. Because just sitting there for 2.5-3 hours, just hold the pedal down and just turn left. Just that easy, yeah.
So once again, we are being joined by ARCA racer Brayton Laster. Brayton, of the races that you've done, have you ever gotten, starstruck racing against anybody?
Yeah. Last year, I'm in my truck debut at Knoxville. And I'm sitting here walking down the pit road, and we pit in the infield on that, so it's a very tight pit area. We don't have a garage, so it's a pit out of the back of the hauler. And I look over, we got Joey Gage, who's ran a lot of cup races and stuff, and he's sitting here pitting right next to us. On the other side, you got Jordan Anderson racing, all of his guys and team. We got Norm Benning, who's very notorious in the truck series here in the past couple of years, especially on the dirt stuff. And you got Matty Deed, you got Hedy Deegan, you got Neil Carson Hosmart, you got a lot of these big names, you got Matt Kraft, Neil Ben Rhodes, a lot of these guys I've watched on TV, and now I'm sitting here racing against them. And actually, that whole experience was just like, man, this is so cool. I can't believe I'm out here. I can't believe I'm on the same track with these guys. Now I'm half a second slower because I suck, but we're on the same track. we're on the same track. And then at Daytona, this past week, it was pretty neat. Because we had a lot of females. We had Natalie Decker in the field. We had Logan Misuraca, something like that, Amber. We had Mandy Chick. We had Tony. We had a lot of chicks, which is really cool. But the coolest highlight of all was Frankie Muniz, Malcolm in the middle. So me and him actually worked together a lot during the race. At one point, he was behind me, pushing me, and my car was like, "Ah, you got a 30 car pushing, 30 pushing." I'm like, "I'm getting pushed by Malcolm in the middle, all right." I took him three wide. I was hoping, I was trying to stick him in the middle, but he was on the bottom. Like, "I got Malcolm three wide here, not in the middle." But yeah, that was pretty neat.
I was about to ask if you got to like what was that like racing against Frankie Muniz, but no, that is awesome.
So cool. But looking to the future, do you have any more races planned? Where do you go from here?
Yeah, we plan on running back to our short track stuff for now. We're running a lot of dirt stuff, running some asphalt, late model stuff, here and there, whenever. Maybe a school bus. I run school bus races too. I race everything. As far as the big stuff, obviously this is an ever-changing sport. The plan is to return to Talladega as of now. Of course, things can change very quickly. And we're just kind of taking one race at a time. Hopefully, do Talladega and do some stuff there down the road. ARCA and the Truck Series books from the IRP. They're on the west side of Indy, so it'd be kind of like, hometown hero. That'd be really cool if we're able to push them together for that. But we're just kind of taking step one race at a time, as we go. So.
You mentioned just a little bit ago you race school buses. What in the world is that like, racing a school bus?
Yeah, so I actually raced those at the Speedrome up here on the west, or the east side, I'm sorry. Like I said, a flat 5th mile, and we raced on a figure eight. And I mean, these aren't short buses, these are full length school buses. And there were, I think, 12 or 13 of us. You're going 4 or 5 wide through crossover, the intersection, like dodging other buses. It was insane. That was probably one of the highlights of my career, though, was Talladega, man. School bus figure eight, though, let me tell you. That it was just insane, because these are huge school buses driving, manhandling them. It was crazy.
Awesome, man. So, you went to UIndy, right? You were talking to Landon about your whole semester at the University of Indianapolis. What was that time like for you?
Well, it was kind of a weird time, because I was, like I said, right as we're kind of getting the ARCA stuff and the big regional stuff going and the national stuff. And it's hard, being a student, especially an in-person student, and going to racing, like down Florida or down in Alabama or Tennessee or Illinois or Ohio or Michigan or New York or racing all over the country. It's hard to kind of be a student. And my brother went there for a couple of years. He went there for a computer or something nerdy. And I went, like I said, first semester for mechanical engineering, because I've always been like a hands-on guy, kind of like work on my own stuff, setups, motors. I do a lot of it. And so I'm like, mechanical engineering degree, it's gonna be awesome, got a bunch of knowledge. And I made a lot of good friends there. And it's kind of neat, but it sucked because, like I said, I had to pick one, racing or, college or school. And while racing, is kind of, a lot of people look at it as a hobby, at this point, it's almost like a career at the level we're getting to. And, I can go to college. I'm 40, I'm 45, I'm 50, 55, 60, even 70 years old. You know, I can go to college whenever. That opportunity will always be there. As far as racing, the opportunities that we've got now, it's limited. And so obviously, I'm going to take the opportunity I got now. I'm going to run with it. And I'll work on school stuff later.
So as we're about to wrap up here, just a couple of general questions here. I got one for you. Growing up, who was your racing idol?
I'd probably say my dad was the biggest one because he got me like started and whatnot. You know, he kind of got me into sport. You know, we still go to the track every weekend together. You know, normally he's the one driving or hauler. As far as like favorite driver growing up, though, like an idol, I say Jimmy Johnson. You know, 7-time Cup champion, GOAT. He was definitely kind of, you know, my auto growing up. And actually, something neat is my spotter at Daytona was Jimmy Johnson's spotter in the Daytona 500. So that was really neat. So I was kind of like, oh my God! I was kind of fangirling a little bit there.
That is awesome.
I'm Kenny Culver, and now back to In the Fast Lane on WICR HD3 Unity Radio.
All right, as we got just about a few more minutes here, we got some race predictions to make here. So NASCAR, they're going to Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Caden, who are you looking for that?
Looking at NASCAR, I think the geezer goes back to back. I mean, it's not likely.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, you don't get rich betting on the best odds, you know? Or maybe you do. I wouldn't know. But I'm going Kyle Busch.
Kyle Busch, that's always a good thing. You're going back-to-back picks with Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch looking for win number two in his home state of Sin City. For me, he's not on this list. But honestly, I think I got to go Ross Chastain because he was great in both races last year. So I'm going to go back-to-back Trackhouse Racing picks. I'm going to go with Ross Chastain. And
so
now,
you're expecting like a breakout race from him?
I would hope so from him. Or I think because last year when he did both races, like he was just kind of there. And then like when he took the lead, he was good. And then it all just kind of fell apart towards the end. And it kind of same way like he did yesterday at Fontana. So I really hope Ross can kind of maybe seal the deal on this one. And then finally, for me, open wheel racing starts. So now all three series are going. We got IndyCar kicking off at St. Pete this weekend, and then Formula One kicking their racing season off at Bahrain GP. Starting off with IndyCar, Caden, who's your pick for St. Pete?
Give me Colton Herta. I like the swagger of this young kid, man. Looking at him, he's got that John B. kind of vibe going on. We just had that third season of Outer Banks drop, but I'm going Colton Herta.
See, you mentioned Outer Banks. I always thought Colton Herta looked like Steve from Stranger Things.
Okay. I can see that.
Hair. It's the hair. So you go Colton Herta, and then I think I'm going to go with Scott McLaughlin because, none besides me being a Scott McLaughlin fan, that a lot of the people, when they win at St. Petersburg, they tend to go back-to-back. Elio Castroneves has done it, and they're not on our list because they're not racing IndyCar anymore, but Sebastian Bourdais, Juan Pablo Montoya, they've gone back-to-back twice, and same with Joseph Newgren, he's gone back-to-back. I feel like Scott McLaughlin just continues the trend, so I think he's going to go back-to-back. And then finally, Formula One starts up this weekend at Bahrain GP. Caden, who's your pick for Bahrain?
I'm thinking Charles Leclerc. Which might be a little out of the box, but Charles Leclerc, I think he's pretty solid.
So you're thinking Charles is going to go back to back?
I think so.
I can see that. I think Ferrari's got their stuff figured out. I really hope for Charles that he has a good race because I know Ferrari really screwed him over in strategy, and not just him, but his teammate Carlos Sainz. So I hope for Charles' sake it's really good. But he's my guy. He's never won it before, but he's gotten close a couple times. 2-time defending series champion Max Verstappen.
Okay.
Because Max Verstappen, they had 22 races last year. He won 15 of them. Max Verstappen, I think he's finally going to get his first season winning. I think he's finally going to get his first season win. But like, the thing season is opening race.
About racing, I mean, you can pick any of these guys. You make a case for almost anybody out on the field, but it's just anybody's guess.
I really hope so. I'm looking forward to this race week. I'm going to be back out in St. Louis calling more games. So I'm going to have to try it. Somewhat pay much attention to all the races going around here, but I'm looking forward to this race weekend. So it feels like even though NASCAR is now in week three, I feel like everything is now finally starting to come together. So, Caden, thank you as always for coming on here as well. Thank you so much to Brayden Laster for joining the show. I'm Landon Kuhn saying thank you so much, and you have been listening to In the Fast Lane. Tune in next week for yet another episode.
Thank you for tuning in to In the Fast Lane. New show Monday night from 7 to 8 on WICR HD3 UND Radio.